There is nothing worse than potential unrealized. We all have things that hold us back. What if we could find a way to get us unstuck? I'm Lichelle Wiemy, and I am going to walk alongside you as you make the decision to get unstuck. Tune in as I help you realize that you are not alone, inspire hope, and offer practical solutions to help you step boldly into the life that you are meant to live. Hey everybody, welcome to the Unstuck Podcast. And today I have my friend Katie Cooley joining me in. Girl, you were my second interview that I did.
Was I? Okay, why did I think I was your first? Maybe
you were my first. I think you maybe were my first, actually.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to be back.
I should get those facts right before I just like say that. But we had so much fun chatting. And there's so much that I want to pick your brain about that I decided to have you back. And today we're going to talk about money mindset.
Right.
Because I think that sometimes people just really hold themselves back from having the earning potential that they could because they are stuck somewhere in their mindset that they are either incapable, unworthy, all of the other BS that can
right.
get us stuck in that.
Right.
And you work in finance right now.
Yeah.
I love your mission for what you're doing. And so share with us in your words so that I don't screw it up, so that we know like why you're qualified to talk about this today.
Yeah, that's great. First of all, thanks for having me back. I always love spending time with you. So what I would say, one of the things that I'm most passionate about all the way around, like my whole thing, is encouraging and equipping women. And when I spent some time thinking through what is an area where women really struggle, where women aren't represented enough, what does that look like? Where can I make a space? I decided that jumping into the financial services industry was a really good idea. As I'm rolling my eyes, that's been great. It's been very difficult, which all things that are good are. Anyway, I really want to encourage and empower women specifically with their finances, because I believe so strongly that if your finances aren't something that are holding you back, you're far more courageous to step into things that you normally wouldn't.
Yes. Oh, that's totally true, because it gives you options.
Absolutely. You're not stuck or tied to one thing.
You have a passion for women. So, I mean, I'm going to guess that men possibly have some of these same mindset blocks.
For sure.
But I'm going to guess that a lot of probably more women get stuck in this. And I think that I have found that with myself. So I'm going to talk about where my crappy money mindset has been stuck. And I want you to kind of rattle off all these
Absolutely.
Cool things that we're going to learn from you today.
But, and I do always tell people, I work primarily with women, but also a few good men. So sorry to single you out, guys. It just seems to be a little bit more, people want to work with somebody that they can relate to.
Yeah. Yeah. What's really interesting is that Ruth Bader Ginsburg literally just passed away this week. So that's
right.
the kind of context. And she was a person who was really, really present in the fight for women equal pay.
Absolutely. Right?
And so what's interesting is that in our relative short recent history, that has been something that has even been present in corporate America.
Absolutely.
Okay. So that's something that I think that we have to still acknowledge. But one of the things that I've noticed with myself is that I have been in corporate America. I've gotten degrees, then I've gotten a job in corporate America where my salary is the same as the men.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've always felt like, okay, well, I can get my degree and then I'm going to get the paycheck that comes along with the degree.
Right.
And then I found myself in the entrepreneurial space.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like my ability to get money for my services was tied to the degree, which is often tied to what we kind of can see in corporate America. My first
You've really
business,
had that experience?
Yes. So my first business that I started was photography.
Okay.
And kind of context there, I'm kind of a stinker, I think. And if I think I can do something decent, I'm just going to start it on my own and do it.
Right.
And so I remember having these newborn pictures of my first son, and the pictures, like the experience didn't go great.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember thinking, well, heck, like I know what I spent on that. If I just bought a camera and I took lessons and I bought some books and I practiced, I could do that totally. And
yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
And my pictures were great. And I found that I had people coming up to me saying like, hey, would you mind taking my family pictures? Would you mind taking my newborn pictures? Would you mind doing this? And I was learning as I went. And my money that I would earn would go back into my equipment. So I was getting better equipment and
right.
it was really fun. But if I look back on that, Katie, I would say that I know that my popularity, in air quotes, had some to do with my abilities and my talents. Because
mm-hmm.
if I totally sucked, nobody would want me to take their pictures.
Right.
But I would be naive to think that my inability to charge what I was worth
was what was bringing in probably most of my clients.
Yeah.
And that I was grossly undercharging mm-hmm. in the industry. And if I look back on it, I'm sure that I was making other photographers frustrated, because if I'm willing to take what I was charging,
right,
I'm totally undermining, you know, the entire industry. But the reality was, is that I felt like because I didn't have a degree in photography,
yeah,
I wasn't formally trained. It took me years to even call myself a photographer.
Huh.
Like I couldn't even give myself that title.
That's so interesting.
And so, you know, and I found that when I went into my second entrepreneurial journey with, mm-hmm. with sales, as a woman, at least in my own opinion, I felt like I was being selfish for wanting monetarily to benefit from the services that I was providing.
Yeah.
Like I went into this to serve people, to bring people confidence, but ultimately there is a charge for the materials in which I am exchanging with this person
right.
that's going to help them with their confidence.
Right.
But for some reason, whenever it came to the money part of it, I'd clamp up, I'd get all weird and awkward, and I had a really hard time talking about natural things that come with business. And
yeah.
I don't know why. If I felt like I was maybe inauthentically helping them, because how could I really help them if I was taking money from them? Just really interesting things
yeah,
going
that
on.
Is so, and what's super interesting to me, and I guess I would be really curious to hear from your listeners, maybe comments or whatever. I never felt like that mm-hmm. in my entrepreneurial journey, ever.
Yeah.
I never once thought that I shouldn't be getting what I was charging. So I think, okay, is it a confidence thing? Or maybe it's from your background where education is, not that education is bad, obviously, I'm not saying that whatsoever, but where it's so highly prized,
mm-hmm.
obviously, like, you hope that they're highly educated. You
right,
know what I
right,
mean?
Right. If they're doing anesthesia, they
yes,
should have gone
yes,
to school.
Yes, exactly. But in business, it's never been like that.
Yeah.
You know, some of the most successful people. I met with a client the other day, not a high school graduate, and makes over $200,000 a year.
Yeah.
Insanity. But it's also business, right? So it's like the way that our minds work are different sometimes.
Yes.
So
yes.
I wonder if some of that is because you had kind of started with your feet over in this industry
yeah.
where that was so highly regarded. And then transitioning to another one where any great entrepreneur can learn on the fly. Think about how much you've learned on the fly and
right.
what you're doing.
100%. And I think about how much money I have spent on training
mm-hmm.
for marketing,
yeah.
for sales, for different things, because I want to learn and I want to be the best.
Mm-hmm.
But why do I not feel worthy enough of asking for that money in exchange for my services, for my expertise? And
right.
it's been a journey for me to recognize, like, no other person on earth has read the same books that I've read, have taken the same courses that I've taken, who have done the same things professionally that I've done.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in a unique opportunity to be able to share my expertise with someone.
Absolutely.
So why wouldn't I feel comfortable charging what I'm worth? The other thing that I've had to work through, Katie, is that I know that I have signed up for courses, and I'm going to guess maybe you have too,
oh,
where
girlfriend.
You sign up for them and then you don't even open the dang thing.
Yeah.
And so there's a part
or like you're all jazzed up for the first 2 weeks
yeah,
and then
yeah.
you're like, yeah, I'm done.
And so having to remember that when we charge money for something,
mm-hmm.
that's an accountability thing on
absolutely.
Me. The more expensive the program is, the more likely I am actually to complete it.
Mm-hmm.
And so why am I taking that away from somebody? Why am I robbing someone of that accountability by undercharging and making them more likely to just skip on it? And
right.
not do the things that they can be themselves better. So, okay, I just like word vomited all of my
right.
crappy money mindset blocks on you. So now I want you to, have you had any money mind blocks yourself
oh,
that you've had to overcome?
Yes. And I think as I was thinking about how to prepare for today or things that I thought would be really important, mindset is a really big piece of this. And I think that it goes back to, in so many regards, a lot of the things or beliefs that we have today stem from experiences in childhood.
Uh-huh.
So I know growing up very poor, right? I heard things all the time like, we can't afford that.
Right.
Money doesn't grow on trees. Shut the door. I'm not paying to AC the outside, right? Like things like that.
Yep.
And we inadvertently, most of the time, will take that same story into our adulthood, even though it couldn't be further from the truth.
Right.
So my mom, and I shared this in my last podcast, was a drug addict, horrible with money. And so for the longest time, until I started working with an advisor, my money mantra was, I'm horrible with money. And it wasn't until I had somebody sit me down and like walk me through things factually, realizing that I've been telling myself something all along that is not even remotely accurate. So I think that's the big thing is you have to figure out where does some of this come from.
Mm.
A lot of it for a lot of us comes from the same stories that we grew up in.
Well, that's so interesting that I've never really actually pieced that together. But my mom loved her so much, but she didn't get her college degree until I went to college. We went to college at the same time.
Oh, that's cool.
And the whole time we were growing up, she pushed us to go to college because it would give us options. And that when she was, in, you know, 18 years old, it wasn't an option for her.
Yeah.
And so there's probably part of me in the back of my mind that says that college or a formal education is the only way to make a living.
Yeah.
An only way to make a good living. And so I probably have some block because that was informed of me when I was little. That's really interesting.
Yep. I think that what we don't realize so often is that it's the deep ingrained patterns in ourself that create so much of either the success or the stress that we face on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. No, 100% agree with that. So you said that your mom kind of gave you that mindset. Mm-hmm. Was there anything else kind of growing up that has been a block for you that has led you to where you are now? Or was that the main thing?
I would say that was the main thing. And there's always some underlying feelings of, and for me, sometimes I find because I lack a formal education, despite 7 years of college, right? There are sometimes I feel like I'm in rooms and situations that I don't belong in based upon that.
Okay.
But then I have to remind myself that I'm more than qualified to sit at this table. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been brought in.
Right.
So I think, and I don't want it to come across like I'm saying an education isn't important, because it totally is. I just don't think it's the right avenue for everyone.
Right, right.
I mean,
it's
clearly
not the only way.
No, I was in college for 7 years, went back and forth between 3 different majors, and finally was like, I just need to work.
Yeah.
And see what happened.
Okay, Katie, so you said that what you were modeled by your upbringing has really infected your mindset around money. Where did that kind of materialize as an adult?
For sure. I think for me, what it created was some bad habits.
Okay.
You know, I remember as a kid when my mom would have extra money, like the first thing she always did was we would go out to eat.
Okay.
Or she would buy something that she could never normally afford, right? So it was never about creating habits of saving to prevent this situation from happening again. It was always like, spend it as fast as you make it. And I mean, I got married really young. I was 20, had my kids young, and I got, so by the time I was 26, I was divorced and really on my own for the first time in my life with 3 kids. And it was in that moment that I realized I was doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I never fully developed good habits around money. I had always looked at budget as a 4-letter word. Rather than like safe parameter for me, in order, as somebody that had a traumatic childhood, like stability is incredibly important to me.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until kind of going through that initial experience of being a single mom with kids, realizing that the best gift or the best way I could create stability was by having a budget.
So the first step to any change is awareness. So what made you decide, like, or acknowledge, I guess, that this was an issue for you?
Yeah. Well, it was having a conversation with a financial professional was the first step. And then one of the things that I was challenged to do was to pay really close attention to my mindset and my thoughts around money. So I was challenged for a week to track my thoughts each time a decision about money came up.
Oh, interesting.
So if it was, okay, I need to buy groceries, what was my thought there? And then like spending time thinking through like, oh gosh, like essentially validating, is this a real thought or is it not? But having it all written down for about a week, actually a day was probably plenty.
Yeah.
But that really helped me become more aware of my views, my mindset, and my blocks around money. And also where I was being irresponsible, because I would like drive around town to get gas 3 cents cheaper a gallon and then go spend $700 on a purse. And come on, like, how messed up is that? Not that buying expensive purses is messed up, but it's about what are my priorities and what am I doing about that, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, Katie. So I want you to kind of help me understand that process a little bit better that you just said. So you had to write down the feelings that you had about money when you were making the purchases. So give me an idea. So if you were going around and you needed to fill up your car full of gas, you had to write down what?
Went to fill up gas, went to 3 different stations because I wanted to find someplace cheaper.
Okay. And
then I would think later on, as I was reflecting on the facts, I would try and figure out like, what was my thinking behind that? And I realized that's because that's what my grandpa always did.
Okay.
Right? Like, it was never this conscious decision that I made to drive around and find gas 3 cents cheaper. It was my grandpa bless his heart, in retirement, like, had the time to do that. Mm-hmm. And I remember from the very, like, when I first started driving, he would text me and be like, oh, gas is 6 cents cheaper at Shell down the road than it is up by Hy-Vee.
Okay.
So it was like this weird, and I would waste so much time. Like, I think one of the things I think that is a key differentiator between those that are successful and those that aren't is we see time as a currency. Mm. And it was such a waste of time.
Yeah.
For me to drive around.
Okay. So I really love the fact that one of the things that you've said so far, Katie, was that when you have money, you have options.
Yes.
And when you have options, you feel less stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds to me like you had an upbringing that could very well easily been repeated generation after generation.
For sure.
But you had an awareness when you talked to a financial professional that you wanted to do something different.
Yep.
He or she brought you to a new awareness of what your spending was on. You were able to identify some beliefs or patterns that you didn't even realize. And you were starting to make next steps towards a new kind of way that you looked at money.
Yeah.
So I would love for you to talk to our listeners about some of the tips that you have to help people kind of get unstuck from some of their money mindsets.
Yeah, that's great. I think one of the biggest things is you have to forgive yourself. What happened in the past happened in the past. There's nothing that you can do about it today.
Okay.
If you, and I always tell people too, when we're working together through this, I don't believe in a thing as good debt and bad debt. I don't even believe that debt is bad. Like, it just is. And I think that's a mistake that has been made across every platform that talks about finances, is discriminating between what is bad and what is good. Like, we have to acknowledge that it is what it is. It's here and it served a purpose. Maybe the purpose was education. Maybe it was your house. Maybe it was you had to live on credit cards because you made some horrible choices and it's just what got you there. Like, acknowledging that it is what it is, letting go of the shame, and then making a plan to attack it.
Yeah, because I guess if you keep carrying around shame and guilt around that, it's going to continue to embed into your mind that you're bad with money, or that
exactly.
you're not responsible with money, or you don't deserve happiness, or you don't deserve wealth, or all of these things. And
right.
so unless you learn to forgive yourself and get rid of that shame cycle,
right.
you're not going to be able to bust out of that.
No.
I've never really thought about that. Okay,
yeah.
What else you got
yes.
for me?
So I think that's what helped when I was spending time jotting down, like, what is my mindset behind this when I'm spending money? I thought back a lot to, okay, what do I need to forgive myself for? What do I need to just acknowledge this is what it is, and I can continue to choose to live here and play the victim, or I can make a plan and move on. So figuring that out is super important. I think that comparing yourself to other people, like, stop doing that. I'm pretty sure the Bible says comparison is a thief of joy, or else it's something we've attributed to scripture over the years. But that truly is the case, right? Like, everybody's circumstances look different. And I think we have to remind ourselves too that, like, as Americans generally, we live in massive amounts of debt, and you can't compare where someone is at to where you're at.
Right.
You know, my ex-father-in-law was probably one of the wealthiest people I'll ever have the opportunity to meet. And he looked like he was homeless. Like, you just would have no idea.
Right.
One, it didn't matter. And two, like, you never know who the guy is sitting next to you. So
right.
I think if we have to stop comparing ourselves to others, because that enables us to make more excuses for where we are.
Yeah. I'm going to offer a perspective on that.
Mm.
Because I think that sometimes when we catch ourselves being jealous of somebody else and what they have, we can either, you know, get down on ourselves and it can be a block
yes.
to us.
Yes.
Or we can use it as a compass. Like, what is it about what Katie has that I don't have that makes me want to have that?
Agreed.
And sometimes our longing or our discontent and our comparison of what other people have could be the guide to what it is that we could be working towards. Because sometimes we stay stuck because we don't have something to work towards.
For sure.
And so maybe just acknowledging, like, okay, I'm comparing myself to this person, but what is it about what they have that I want?
Mm-hmm.
And can I use that as a goal?
Absolutely.
Instead of a way to feel crappy about myself?
Right.
And then I would say to somebody, to if you have somebody, an ideal person that you watch them on social media, or you see them driving their fancy car down the street or whatever it is, and you catch yourself in comparison, what I want you to do is consider contrasting and think about, like, hey, so what makes that person different? And what makes me, like, okay, so let's just say that person has a really nice car. Let's just say they're driving a Lamborghini around town, but they don't have a family, right? They don't have student loan debt.
Mm-hmm.
Their house is simple and modest and paid off,
mm-hmm.
right? Whereas I have a family. I live in my dream home out in the country.
Mm-hmm.
I have been to school and all of these things. So giving ourselves the permission to figure out where our differences are.
Right.
And not have unfair comparisons
for sure.
either, because I think that's kind of where it gets.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think that comparison for comparison's sake is never helpful. But when you can utilize that to kind of become a fuel to the fire, you can create actionable steps that you can take. You can compare yourself against your own goals.
Yeah.
As a result of that.
Yeah.
I think that's really healthy.
Okay, cool. Sorry. Didn't mean to go on a tangent.
No,
but
gosh,
I just think
no.
Kind of interesting. Like, I love that you and I can have, we can have good dialogue, right? We can agree and disagree on some things, and it's fun because we learn from each other all the
oh,
time.
Oh, for sure.
We can have some good conversations.
For sure.
We might have to make this a road show down the road.
We should. That would be really fun, actually.
Okay. Any other tips that you
yes,
have for us here?
I think, so we talked a little bit about maintaining good habits. I think that one of the things that I was reading about in preparation for this was a lot of times, especially if money is a struggle for us, but even, you know, I have clients where money isn't a struggle. They tend to like be an ostrich about it. Like, put my head in the sand. Mm. It doesn't exist. I'm not yeah. thinking about this. You're taking care of all of it. I don't need to do anything.
Yeah, that's me.
Or like, it's such a big problem. I don't know where to start. So I'm not going to, right? Like, being an ostrich when it comes to your finances is like the absolute worst thing you can do. So I read something and I want to read it. Millionaires spend on average 8.4 hours per month managing their money. Right? So you need to set aside between an hour or two each week to be very mindful. Where are you spending? How are you spending it? Are you spending it the right way? Are you diverting money towards goals? Are you like irresponsibly spending savings? Like, whatever that looks like, I think we need to be super mindful of always being aware of that.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to get vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
So I will tell you that I am somebody who is totally capable of running my finances. In fact, before I got married to Andy, like, I mean, of course, I lived on my own. I did my thing.
Right.
He is more of the planner, organized kind of person. I am like the big picture thinker. Finances bores me. And
yeah.
he likes doing it. I don't. So I let him do it. But what I found is that because I know that I can trust him in all that he does, I want to be the ostrich. I'm like,
yeah.
I know that I have enough money in my account, so I'm not going to worry about it. And I know the principles are there as far as like, you know, the budget and how it gives you freedom and all that stuff. And
mm-hmm.
I practice that and then I'll get, you know, a month or two and then I stop. Like, my habits. I mean, that's full on being honest
yep.
and transparent. And I think that it's because if I had to look back, like, it's more comfortable for me not to know.
For sure.
And
ignorance
back,
is
like,
bliss.
Yeah. Like, I love my parents so much. I shouldn't even be talking about this, but I'm gonna. Like, they didn't talk about money other than when it was tight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the only conversation we ever had around money was, we don't have money for that. And
yeah.
I remember being in high school and having the opportunity to go to Mexico for a Spanish trip. And
yeah.
I didn't even ask my parents because I knew the answer was going to be no.
Yeah.
And so just always living in that scarcity and not wanting to be aware of where we are, to really be aware. And I remember like watching things as a kid. They had a checkbook,
mm-hmm.
but they never wrote in the register of
Weird.
The checkbook. They just knew that they had enough money in there. And so like that was modeled for me. And
yeah.
so it was almost like this deep down, like, okay, as long as I know there's money in there, I'm not going to worry too much about it. But it drives my husband insane. And the thing is, the reality is, Katie, is that I have to get myself to have these conversations. It doesn't mean that I have to waste my mental and emotional energy on doing all of it.
Right.
But I have to at least be like having the conversations with him and being like, okay, honey, where are we with
mm-hmm.
this? Because if I want to make these big goals, if I want to make these big risky things happen,
yeah.
I need to be really sure where we are financially and not in this la la land of where I think I need to be.
Yeah.
Because that's not going to get me to be able to scale and to make the big decisions and take the risks. And going back to our conversation, having money gives you options.
For
well,
sure.
If I am digging my head in the sand and I don't know exactly where we are, and he knows that I don't know exactly where we are, so he's like, hell no, I'm not going to let you make these decisions because you don't even know. And so it gives you the options that you don't have. And so instead of making it feel like you're being confined to this,
mm-hmm.
I want, I'm speaking to myself too, to be giving us a permission to, you know, delegate what we need to, but to still be in the know of where
yeah.
our money is and what's happening with it.
Yes.
And not giving ourselves the permission to be ignorant
yes.
around it, because that isn't going to take us where we want to go.
No. And there are so many great platforms out there that you can utilize to get a a really good like snapshot of where you're at all times without having to get into the weeds. Like it's just enough. So there's a client dashboard that we have access to where clients can plug in everything. They can plug in their mortgage, their car loans, credit cards, bank accounts, like all their 401ks, IRAs, anything like that. And it's all tied to this dashboard. So in real time, you can see where you're at as well as where you're projected to go. And am I making the right choices today that will get me there tomorrow?
And do you have to work with a financial professional to do some of that stuff?
Or some of it you do, but like Mint.com. Okay. Mint is an app that people use. I'm sure there's hundreds of others. But that also make it pretty easy for you to get a good handle on what your spending is.
Right.
As well as what your goals are and what you're trying to do.
Yeah. And I mean, when you're a big picture thinker like me, those tedious little things, like even swiping right or left on my QuickBooks self-employed
it's the
is
worst.
Like tedious. Mm-hmm. But I have to make myself have the habit of Financial Fridays where that's like a task that I have on my to-do list. And because it's Friday, it's the trigger for me to actually do the thing that has created the habit.
And it probably takes 5 or 10 minutes.
So that, maybe. So there are things that are boring. I don't want to do them. But as a business owner, sometimes there are things that we have to do, even if we don't want to do them, because it's going to help us to make the big decisions later on.
Yes. Totally. The last thing that I would want to say, two things, kind of speaking to the point of budget and how that makes people uncomfortable. Your budget has to be a tool that works for you, not the other way around. Like you don't work for your budget. When you are setting your budget, you need to set super realistic goals and keep in mind the way that you like to spend money and the things that are non-negotiables for you. If something doesn't bring you joy, then don't do it, right? Marie Kondo, I think, was all about that.
Yeah.
But having a budget and an investment strategy and a savings plan should be uncomfortable but not painful.
Okay.
And then the very last thing is, I think gratitude is really important. And it's like the opposite of what we grew up with, right? Like we can't afford that. We can't afford that. At the end of the day, I make a point to write out 3 things that I'm grateful money did for me today specifically.
Okay.
Like I'm grateful I had money to put gas in my car. I'm grateful that I had the money to go to the movie, right? Like anything like that. The more we can speak positivity into money in our life, the less of a stigma it has.
Okay. So we have just a couple more minutes and I want to get to, I'm going to have you ask a question at the end of this that our audience can think about and
sure.
move forward.
Okay.
So you can kind of in the back of your mind, but I want to go back to something, Katie, because you said this at the beginning of our interview that you never had a problem asking for what you were worth.
Yeah.
And I think that I'm finding that in my sales organization, I work with so many women who are afraid to ask for the sale.
Mm-hmm.
And they're afraid to talk about the money piece because of something in us that says that I'm not worthy enough to ask for money because I'm of giving up service. I mean, that's just something that you were born with.
Probably.
Or did you work their way up or have you worked with anybody that had that mindset that you have been able to kind of help them along?
I was having this conversation this morning, actually, with an intern that works in my office. He was bringing up an objection that he had gotten earlier, and it was in regards to fees and commissions. And I said, well, did you ask them why they go to work? He's like, no. Like, why do they go to work? To make money. Why do we come to work? To make money. Yeah. Right? Like, it's all about shifting your mindset to the obvious. As women, and I'm awful at this, but for the most part as women, we are horrible overthinkers.
Yeah.
You can serve people and take care of them and love them and still expect to be paid for that because it is your job. It is your profession.
Okay. Anything else? Like speak, because you speak truth and love a lot. So the person who's really struggling with this, any other last like girlfriend you need to hear this?
I think that if you're struggling to figure out or to ask for the sale, you need to figure out why you think you're not worth it. That's where you need to start. So much of this, specifically in sales with women, comes down to worth. We don't think we're worthy of it.
So what do you think could be something that somebody could do to help get them out of the unworthiness mindset that they might be stuck in?
Yeah, that's a great question. First of all, being aware of it.
Okay.
And it's almost one of those things in situations like that, you have to think, what is it that I want to do? And then do the opposite of it. Like if you feel within like, oh my gosh, I'm so terrified. I don't want to ask her to buy. Ask her to buy.
Okay.
right? Like, you can't sidestep around that stuff. And yeah. Sometimes you just have to take the action before you feel like you're ready.
Right. So do it, feel the fear and do it anyway.
Exactly.
And what you find is that the more you do it, the more comfortable you become because you have to start somewhere.
Yeah. And you have to figure out why you think you're not worth it.
Okay. I love that. And thank you because yeah. That's something that I'm going to dig into. Okay. What is a question that you want to give our audience to think about so that they can move forward?
I think the thing I would challenge your listeners on is start paying attention to how they're spending money and how it makes them feel. Like when they're writing out their check for, and people don't write checks out much, right? But like when they see the auto draft come through for their mortgage, are they feel like it's a sucker punch or are they grateful and filled with gratitude because they have a home? When you're making your car payment, same deal. When you're at the store and you're hesitating between spending an extra 30 cents on apples, but then you go spend $700 on a purse, think about how you're feeling in those moments and why. And I think that'll be a very helpful tool as you start to navigate a budget.
And one thing I'm going to say is the Jen Sincero, You Are a Badass at Making Money.
Oh gosh, so good.
Like amazing resource. So yep. If this is something that you're stuck in yourself, that was that book that really resonated with me. And mm-hmm. I know that you will read
yes.
it as well.
Yep.
So, okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah,
so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Bye. Love you.
Thanks for listening. And if you know that you are made for more, and you are tired of being held back and ready to get unstuck and step boldly into a life that you're meant to live, head on over to LachelleWeamy.com, request an appointment, and be ready for me to walk alongside of you personally to help you step boldly into the life that you are meant to live. I'll be back next week, but before you go, don't forget to hit subscribe and enjoy these imperfect outtakes.